Good evening, and welcome to the May 8th, 2012 Morro Bay City Council meeting. Welcome to everybody who's here. Welcome to everybody who's watching at home. Let the record reflect that all members of the City Council are present, and we'll begin, please, with a moment of silence. And if you would please stand and face the flag, we'll be led in the pledge by Jeremiah O'Brien.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Jeremiah. Big congratulations to the car show folk and who put it on. It was another successful car show, filled the town, brought a lot of people to town. We're very grateful for the efforts of all the car show volunteers and everybody who worked there. Thank you so much. It's one of the very cool things we do in Morro Bay. And I'll save my last comment till later. Carla?
Good evening. Thank you. Just a couple announcements. First, the Tip-A-Cop dinner is the May 18th, Friday night at the Community Center, and tickets are available. You can contact the Police Department for information on that, and that benefits Special Olympics. The 19th is the Pirate and Mermaid Parade at 10 a.m. down at the Harbor Walk by Target Rock is where the sign-ins are. And on that Sunday, the 20th, busy weekend, is the Oyster and Beer fundraiser at Tognazzini's for the 4th of July. So those three events are coming up next weekend, and I hope to see everybody there. Thank you.
Thanks, Colin. Nancy? George?
Yes, I just wanted to get a little report. It's been really nice that the salmon did show up. So I guess a little prayer helped a little bit, but anyway, they've been doing really good out there, so that's a good thing for us, and just hope it keeps it up. And I want to congratulate Mrs. Steinman up on Pecho Street. The 11th of this month, she's going to turn 100 years old. So I want to congratulate her on that.
All right. The Eco Rotary Club here in Morro Bay, which is an offshoot of Morro Bay Rotary, has adopted the Estero, the Bayshore Bluffs Park, and is doing maintenance at the park and working with the Tree Committee and the California Native Plant Society and Morro Bay Beautiful. We've organized a replanting effort along with our Rec and Parks Department for the parking lot planters. There's three of them and maybe a fourth back by the restroom that we're going to be doing a demonstration pollinator garden planting. And the idea is to show what a beauty a pollination garden can bring as far as flowers and low maintenance and also providing habitat for birds, bees, and butterflies. And we'll be out there working on Sunday, May 20th from 1 to 5. Everyone's welcome to join us. We'll be doing some more announcements as we get closer and have an article coming out pretty soon. So, again, that's the Tree Committee, Morro Bay Beautiful, and the Eco Rotary Club out there at the Bayshore Bluffs Park on South Main, Sunday, May 20th from 1 to 5.
Support your person. Don't bash the people, the others. And the first person we're going to invite up for public comment is Haley Bright from Perry's Parcel and Gift. We're so glad you're here tonight. Haley, step right up.
So glad to be here. Thank you for having me. As you mentioned, my name is Haley Bright. I'm the marketing director for Perry's Parcel and Gift, and we like to think of ourselves as your local packing and shipping experts here on the Central Coast. Perry's is a locally owned and operated business. We have supported the community for nearly 30 years between this location and our Atascadero location. Some of you may remember us as the Morro Bay Mail Center previously. We've recently changed our name to kind of brand our image between our Atascadero store and this store. We are currently located on Quintana Road across the street from the Albertsons Shopping Center, the same complex as Burger King and the Urgent Care there. And it may sound a little cliche, but we truly like to think of ourselves as a one-stop shop for shipping, shopping, and business services. As far as the shipping goes, we offer services from UPS, FedEx, DHL, and the Post Office. One of the benefits of being able to have all those carriers under one roof is that a customer can come in needing to ship something, and they can choose the carrier that's right for them based on the cost of the shipment, the time of the shipment. We even have an express pickup on Saturdays, so you can come in Saturday by 1 p.m. We can ship something nationwide for delivery Monday morning, so all you procrastinators out there can rejoice at that. I'm going to zip through the business services so I can get to talking a little bit more about the gifts, which is what I love to talk about the most. And as far as the business services go, we like to think of ourselves as kind of your office away from the office. We offer fax services, color copies, we have secure shredding services, we have a 24-hour private mailbox room. One thing that I know customers really appreciate is that all of our staff members are certified notary public, so anytime that we are open, we have a notary public on staff. It might seem a little bit odd that you would find a gift shop inside of a packing and shipping store, but it might also be one of the reasons why many of our customers refer to our gift shop as the best-kept secret for gifts here on the Central Coast. Much like the gamut of services that we have at the shop, the range of gifts that we have there is just as wide. We offer children's toys and clothing. I've brought this little character here with me today to show you. Many people have already walked up to the podium and played with them before the meeting began. We offer jewelry, wine glasses, novelty gifts, anything you can imagine. Another really popular item are these animals. They're little characters that you can write all over. The postage goes right on the outside. They're light enough to go first-class mail, so somebody can open up their mailbox and they see a little pig or frog sitting right in there. So they've been very popular. One other little gift item I'll share with you, since Mother's Day is coming up, are these matching mother-daughter aprons that we have. Really adorable, lots of patterns. They've been super fun for Mother's Day. So once again, I'd just like to thank the council for allowing me to come and speak with you tonight. As the marketing director, I do have to come up with creative ways to promote the business, especially since we're not allowed to have our feather flags outside anymore. So I really do appreciate the opportunity to come and speak to you today. And I would encourage everyone to come and stop by, check out the shop, or visit us online at perrysparcel.com.
Thank you, Haley.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming today. Who would like to go next?
Good evening, Mayor Yates, council members, and Morro Bay residents. I'm Susan McDonnell, manager of Morro Bay Transit and the trolley. Our new red trolley steins are up. If you haven't seen them, they're beautiful, and so that means that trolley season is right around the corner. I'm looking for one more trolley driver, and I just wanted to say that so that the public can hear that. Anyone with a qualifications to drive a trolley should contact me. The number is 772-25514. Let's say it one more time, 772-5514. Then if no one's in the office, just leave a message. Morro Bay Transit's offering free senior bus rider training. The first session was held on March 28th at 456 Elena, the senior housing, and the second one was at May 2nd. I took two groups out on a one-hour loop during which they were able to ask me all the questions they've been wondering about how the transit works. I explained everything and demonstrated to them also how call rides work. We all got out of the bus at the senior center, went inside, And if we need a second bus, we'll go at 2:15. So for any questions, people can call me at 772-5514, and please come join us. Thank you.
Thanks, Susan. Thanks for coming down tonight. Thanks to you and all your drivers and staff for what they do for the community. We appreciate it. Hi, Hank. Come on up.
I'm Hank Roth, Morro Bay, and I just wanted to mention the Kite Festival we had 2 weekends ago. I wanted to thank a few people, and I'm going to miss somebody, I'm sure, but bear with me. Sean Farmer, Farmers Kite in Surrey, Carol Berry of the Central Coast Funds for Children, Marina Chang of Kite Borders, the Salinas for Blessing the Wind, the Grizzlies that came out and helped out there. It was a great time had by all, and and I especially want to thank the hoteliers and Morro Dunes Trailer Park for providing lodging for the pro kiters to come in. Everybody seemed to have a great time out there. The wind was great, and we had a good time also. There's the Outdoor Riders Conference is here in town, and Craig and Sharon from the and Sharon and Chris from the Chamber are with them right now. They've been, you know, enjoying a lot of the different things that we have here in Morro Bay and other areas of the county, and hopefully they're going to write nice things about our town. So thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Hank. Apologies for not mentioning the Kite Festival. It was a really cool Kite Festival and packed. Who'd like to go next? Come on up, Betty.
Nope.
Okay, Gary Beecher.
Good evening, Mayor, City Council, and the Worker Bees of Morro Bay. Yeah, what a great event all this was. Well, okay, I just found out today that the absentee ballots went out yesterday, and a friend of mine called, and I says, oh, you know, I haven't read much in the newspaper, I haven't read many emails, so I don't want to offend anybody in this room, but our election is getting close, and very little has been printed in our newspaper. So I personally feel that I'm going to vote for Carla Burchard. Is our best choice for mayor. She has been very active and participant in our city for over 30 years. She has supported the elementary school, high school, and been very active leader in the 4-H Club and Future Farmers of America. She has run a successful restaurant in 25 years. And for the past 4 years, she has served as a leader on our city council. During this time, she has worked very hard to balance our city budget and establish pension reform. She has led the way to sell Brannigan's and use the money to create a maintenance fund to repair the city buildings. She has worked to find over $1 million in the city budget for street repair, which is going to start this week. Yippee! After all these years of complaining, we're finally on the right track. She has been very active on the development of economic development program to improve business in our community. While Carla is an excellent collaborator, she is also an excellent leader. Carla serves as a liaison from the City Council to the Harbor Commission, and such as has been an advocate for the needs of our fishermen, which is so important. As our city rep, she is also the city rep for the IWMA. She supports the need to eliminate plastic bags in the ocean, yet she's voted against the citywide ban against and believes it should be local control. And I believe in local control. From D.C. to Sacramento, they should get off our backs and let our cities control our own destiny. So I say vote for Carla Burchard. And I still got a yellow light. We had a super car show. And just to let people know, the Bay Cruisers, we each one of us put some money in the pot. There's quite a few of us on the committee, and we buy food for the people that come in and sign up early. What does that mean? They come in and fill up the hotels, motels, and restaurants, and so forth. And I want to thank Albertsons because they gave us a 25% discount. And we served over 300 people, first time ever. Last year we had 250. This year we had over 300 show up early. So that's a plus for our community because, as you know, they're bringing lots of tax dollars, which we desperately need. And that's why we're getting our roads repaired. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary.
Good evening. My name is Betty Winholtz. It's pretty amazing that you can say that a person is in favor of taking bags out of the ocean when they vote against it. What I want to address tonight are three issues in the staff reports tonight in your agenda. Has to do with safety, has to do with physical responsibility, and has to do with planning management. The first one is A2, A3, and A4 and A7. The grand jury finding said that we have a $500,000 unfunded liability because of the way that we've been handling sick leave, a collection of your sick leave and how that pans out. There is nowhere in there that it says that they're going to try to correct this, and you as the fiscal agents, I hope, would direct staff to in some way make sure that this doesn't continue to happen. The only thing that staff says they want to do is encourage it not to happen. On the T-bid, obviously there's a problem because they overspent their budget, and my question is, how can this happen without it coming before council? I believe there's a $25,000 limit, and if not, please correct me, that if something goes over that, the council has to give their approval, and this has not been before, to my knowledge, before the council. And regarding the Little Hut and its addition on A7, they're getting a 10-year lease extension for a $150,000 investment.
Forgive the interruption. A7 has been pulled. You're welcome to continue.
Okay, thank you for letting me know that. Then I'll not refer to that. Then I'll go on to the planning management issues, of which that was one. But I would like to refer to your goals document under D2, where you're referring to streets, and that's going to start right away. I'm wondering how this goes along with the resolution that we passed when I was serving under Mayor Yates earlier, when we said there would be no construction after Memorial Weekend.
Thank you, Betty.
Good evening, Mayor Yates and council members. My name is Kathy Novak, and I'm here tonight for comment on item D1 regarding the sport fishing businesses. As you are aware, verges and other sport fishing businesses create a destination for many tourists. And because of that, it is important for us to pool our resources and offer assistance so that these businesses can make it into the future. To that end, I have some short and long-term ideas that I would like to share with you that can help achieve that goal. For the short term, I would like to suggest that this council consider the following things. One is a reduction in the mooring and dockage fees. Two would be allow for quarterly or semi-annual payments of these fees. And three, for verges specifically, additional signage on the waterfront and potentially a small temporary building that could be used as a satellite location. While verges appreciates all the efforts the city has done to date with the signage, it is still an ongoing problem for folks that don't know that verges is still in business and also that they have only moved into the new tackle shop location. For the long term, I'd like to see the City Council discuss the possibility of locating a sport fishing and tackle shop on an existing city lease site just south of the South T Pier. I brought this graphic with me for you tonight. The GAFCO, Great American Fish Company, is outlined in blue, the T Pier is in orange, and this lease site is highlighted in green. And the Beach Street would be to the south of the green square. This concept would be based on constructing a small building, approximately 900 square feet, to house a sport fishing co-op, for the lack of better terms. The co-op would be comprised of local owner-operator boats that would join their forces together under one roof for their operations. This idea does not include the construction of docks in this location, so as it would not interfere with the use of the South T Pier or the city slips on the south side. However, the boats could operate from the existing docks, such as the Great American Fish Company and the other docks nearby. Consideration of this idea would give the City Council several benefits, which are, one, is relocating the sport fishing operations to one central area. Two, would provide an opportunity for several independent businesses to flourish by consolidating administrative, supply, and other overhead costs. Three, would provide a public-private partnership with the sport fishing industry. And four, it would give the city the opportunity to assess other areas for possible expansion of the commercial fishing services. I'm sure there will be a lot of questions that will come up regarding this idea, but in the meantime, I felt it was important to offer something new and different for the council to consider and hopefully start a discussion on other ways to assist all the sport fishing businesses. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Kathy. Who else would like to speak? Jeremiah.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, ladies and gentlemen of the city, gentlemen of the City Council, Harbor Department, and city staff. My name is Jeremiah O'Brien, and I'm going to just want to pick up where I left off last time, and pretty much just want to say thank you all very much for the support that the fishermen's organization, or the fishermen, have received from the city staff, and the Harbor Department here in the two issues that we've had facing us, one with PG&E and the other had to do with the Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary. But we've received a lot of support from everybody here, and as I said, the city staff, and certainly the Harbor Department, and all of you, and we just wanted to say thank you very much. It's
and the line that I'd like you to address in the next round of negotiations, because I think you've done a great job taking a look at the two-tiered benefit structure in order to get legacy costs in control. I'd like you to look specifically at the line in the contracts that reads, there shall be no maximum number of sick leave hours that a member of blank may accrue. That line right there is where all of the issues that are coming from the grand jury regarding sick pay, that line right there is the line that would need to be corrected and addressed in order to stem the flow of cash that's going out. I think that it would be important for all of you to take a hard look at that, work with city staff, and work to come up with some ideas and solutions. A solution for you might be to cap the sick pay at a certain number of days, and then allow a portion to accrue should an employee ever have a catastrophic illness and need disability. They could apply for state disability, and then you could use those catastrophic hours to make up the difference in the state disability pay and their regular pay. There's a solution. In addition, now I'm switching hats. I am your TBID chair. I'd like to specifically address A4, the Tourism Business Improvement District, and ask that you approve that and move forward with a planned public hearing date for May 22nd. In addition, I would like to let you know that we are not over budget, putting a positive spin on the TBID and what we've done. I would like to let you know that our efforts are improving our city by bringing an additional 7% revenue this year through your TOT tax. So I ask that you continue to support that effort and have a wonderful evening. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Hi, Brian. Welcome.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Brian Stacy, Morro Bay Fisherman and Vice President of the Port San Luis Commercial Fishermen's Association. I, too, would like to thank the Mayor and Council and Rob as well for that wonderful response he wrote on the EIR for PG&E seismic imaging project. I normally don't compliment attorneys, but I'll make an exception. I missed the last couple of meetings, so I'm really not up to speed on what's going on with A5 here, but I'd like to comment on it. I was out fishing and actually have been fortunate enough to have the opportunity to catch some of the wonderful salmon George referenced in the mayor. It's nice to have some here for a change, and Brett's treating as well at the fish dock. A5, I just happened to catch this today. I was perusing the agenda, and it reads authorization to amend the grant agreement from the Nature Conservancy for support of the formation of a community fishing association to add $50,000 to the grant. And I just want to make sure that if we do add to that grant to form a new association, and I believe this is in regards to the Nature Conservancy fish and receiving those to keep them in the community, but that we make sure that that association's formed in an equitable manner for all the fishermen, to where we all have an opportunity to participate, and hopefully we'll make sure that there's a voting membership where the fishermen make all the decisions. That's obviously the best way to go with any association. So thank you very much again for your support on the PG&E thing, and have a great meeting.
Thank you, Brian. Hi, John.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. My name is John Barta. I'd like to follow up a little bit on what Gary was talking about. As most people know, there's a time when absentee ballots go out, and that's right now. And then there's a time when the election comes. We all like to think that the election is happening, you know, about a month from now. But in fact, 53% of the voters in Morro Bay do absentee ballots. That's more than half. So a lot of folks have their ballot in their hands right now. And with that in mind, I'd like to talk about what I see as the single most important issue facing this council right now and into the near future, and that is our water treatment plant, our wastewater treatment plant. It's a major project, and what disturbs me, well, I'm kind of envious. I mean, there's three candidates out there that have done a terrific job of running all over the town, knocking on everybody's doors, getting fancy literature out to them. But what they've avoided doing, and this is critical to me and my thinking, they have avoided taking an open stand on where they stand with regards to the wastewater treatment plant. They tell everybody, oh, let's wait and see what the Coastal Commission does, but they're really hiding the ball because, in fact, these are three candidates that don't support the wastewater treatment plant. I won't get into the details. I can, but I won't. And I will say that of all the candidates out there, there have been some that have stood right up and said where they stand, and those are Joe.
Hi, Susan.
Hi. I'm shorter than he is. Good evening, Susan Stewart, former chairperson of your Community Promotions Committee, and I wanted to let you know how pleased I was to see that you included developing an economic development program in your goal-setting workshop. I think it would be a great use of CPC dollars in some amount, but the full amount would be great. I think we could put it to good use in this town, given that we've seen such an increased amount of revenue for promotions with the T-bid, and yet I think there's still a dissatisfaction with occupancy rates and where all those dollars have gone. It suggests to me that we need to take a closer look at our product. And by that, I don't mean, gee, the hotels or, gee, the restaurants. It's the whole town. It's the empty storefronts. It's perhaps sidewalks or street beautification. It's everything. So I think it's exciting that you are looking seriously at the idea of having some kind of an economic development program in this town. And while tourism is certainly a huge part of our revenue and a great part of this community, I guess I'd like to remind you that the community was founded on ranching and farming and fishing, and it was actually incorporated because of the power plant. You know, love it or hate it, that was the reality of it. You know, that's so industry and industrialness brought in revenue, and I think if we can develop some kind of a program that maybe brings back light industry, that maybe helps facilitate head of household wage earner jobs. You know, tourism is fabulous, but we have to admit, unless you're owning one of those businesses, it's not the best pay in the world. So, you know, again, positive stuff. I'm really pleased to see that. I know in 2 weeks you'll be having a presentation from the chamber on their proposal for that kind of program, and I think it's exciting. It's very reasonable, and it would offer a lot to this community. So thank you all.
Thank you, Susan. Anyone else? Anybody? Going once, going twice, back to council. Thank you very much. Thank you, Haley, for coming down and introducing your business, and Susan, and Hank, and Gary. Gary, that's a great example of exactly what I'm talking about. You focused on your candidate, you were positive, and you didn't bash anybody. Perfect. Betty, thanks for your comments. You're right. No construction in the commercial districts between Memorial Day and Labor Day. I'm as nervous as other people around here, but I keep getting assured that it's going to be finished before Memorial Day. Give me a nod. There is. I mean, I will flip out if there's any construction on the streets after Memorial Day. Flip out. Kathy, Jeremiah, Joan, Brian, John, and Susan, thank you for coming tonight and for your comments. And we are at the consent calendar.
I did want to make a follow-up comment just for public information. If you do have a question about the candidates, we've had two excellent debates between all the candidates where we were asked very specific questions, and I believe every candidate has answered those questions, some more directly than others. I feel very confident about my response and my communication about my stance on the wastewater treatment plants. If you would like to review those debates, you can check it out at slowspan.org online or go through the city's website on the homepage. Left-hand side, there's a link there to the replay, which is basically Channel 20 through AGP video. So I would encourage you to look at those. And if you do have questions, feel free to call me at 772-7668. I'd love to talk to you more about it.
Anything else? Okay, we're at the consent calendar. Anybody want to pull any comments?
Yes, please, A3.
Oh, me too.
Well, Carla beat you to it.
Oh, that's okay. I'll share.
A reminder, A7 has been pulled. George?
No. 2, 4, and 5.
May I hear a motion, please, approving items A1 and A6?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. A2, no one.
Yes, A2 brought up because I was able to sit in on the Citizens Bike Committee as they discussed this grant and the concept at the high school, which is trying to increase safety by connecting
bike paths to better facilitate that connection and make that mid-block crossings are problematic, being that they're kind of unexpected rather than having a crossing at an intersection. Also, the improvements in the beach tract further to the north is basically having to do with signage and putting some pavement markers down, basically designating that as a Class 3 bike path, which is you share the road with vehicles, and in fact, we're going to use the pavement marker, the Sharrow, which designates it as you're sharing the road, basically. So we didn't feel that there was a need to have a map showing basically maintaining that same Class 3 bike path.
If you could, Mr. Leivick, with the mid-block crosswalk there, do we anticipate re-marking those, freshening those, the painting and designation of those mid-block crossings as well?
Yes. Yes, we would so
that would
freshen
be
that.
Combined.
Maybe not with this, with BTA funds, but with city street funds.
Okay. So given that and also the unanimous approval of this with the Citizens Bike Committee, I'll move approval of A2.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries 5-0. A2, Carla.
And I'll share this with Nancy or anyone else who was interested, too. I certainly agree with the comments that were made by the speakers earlier this evening, Ms. Solo and Ms. Winholtz both. I'm concerned in reading this about our response and the fact that there's not much strength behind what we're stating or is being stated on our behalf. And I agree, especially in 9 and 10 of the grand jury findings towards the end, that we need to have stronger language and a better monitoring of this. And so I'm concerned about our response in this to the grand jury.
Can I ask what your recommendation is?
Well, I would be interested to hear what Councilmember Johnson might want to add to it before making a recommendation on.
My reason for pulling this was just a wee bit different, so I will not comment at this point. I'd like to later.
Let's hear your reason.
Okay. Last month, I was fortunate in being able to go to a mayor's meeting, and this report, as well as other grand jury reports, was a major item of discussion. I think I even came back and mentioned it to Ms. Luker. The thing is, they sweep with a broad brush here. They talk about the whole county, and there are a couple of things that I realize we need to address in Morro Bay. So that being aside, the part that bothered me was where it says there is no fiscal impact, because every time you have a report like this from the grand jury that where you have to go through all these things, some of which do not apply to our city, there is a fiscal impact. And I just wanted to mention that and make sure that it was noted that there is an expense in looking at these things. Thank you.
Do you have anything to say on this side? Go ahead.
Yeah, I was planning on pulling this as well, because I would agree with Ms. Borchard that we should look very closely at this unfunded liability and what that means going out. I felt that our response to the grand jury's inquiry was weak as well, and we need to be more specific about that, particularly with the yearly reporting. And also with the cap, I think that's something that we should strive to address. I understand we wouldn't be able to do that tonight, but that's a concern, and we need to make sure that we're working to have a realistic cap that protects us.
Do we have a deadline on response?
I believe the deadline is May 30th. If I may, Mayor Yates, we currently do have accumulation limits on all our vacation leaves. So we have that in place. We do not have accumulations on sick leave. We do not pay out sick leave on an hour-for-hour basis, so I think it's important to keep the differentiation between vacation leave and sick leave.
But to confirm, we do pay out sick leave. It's just not a one-for-one.
There's some specific language in the MOU concerning payout of sick leave, and you have to meet certain criteria, so it's possible that you could get some payout of your sick leave, but not similar to vacation leave. It's quite different. I can bring that. I think we talked a little bit about that language earlier this evening, but I can bring it back to you.
And then if you could, along the lines of the reporting itself, it would seem that we should have a trigger that's automatic for it to be what the grand jury is recommending.
We're happy to provide you a report. I guess I would just need the specifics on what kind of an annual report you're looking for in terms of accumulation.
Well, I think responding directly to the grand jury's requirements would be the natural place to go with that. Number 10, all jurisdictions in the county should report annually to their citizens on the status of vacation and sick leave accumulations and compare them with the prior year to demonstrate how they are addressing the unfunded liability problem. That seems pretty clear to me.
Well, he just read it, and that's you know, that for me, it's the reporting. It leaves it uncertain to me as that we're moving towards a resolve or an accountability for it, and that was part of my concern, is that we were acknowledging and recognizing that we, to the grand jury, that we see these issues, but to me, and maybe this isn't the time, then we're not dealing with them. We're not addressing how to change that. And so I'm concerned that we just pass this off and then that's the end of it.
Yeah, if you look at our city response, it says, we agree with this recommendation. We continuously, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, we continuously monitor our employees for accumulated vacation balances, and we encourage the use of those hours. And this is what troubles me. Should a member of the public be interested in accessing the overall city picture, blah, 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 that information can be made available. So I think we're creating the situation that we'll be back having the same conversation potentially sometime down the road, and we'll be wondering, well, didn't we already have this problem, and why haven't we created a process to address it? And I think an annual report shouldn't take that much time and would just allow the council and the public to be assured that we're not letting something become a problem.
Well,
and I think to dovetail on that, too, is that I want to know that we're making strides towards changing the MOUs based on the comments in here, that our language isn't specific in those, and as we're going through the MOUs now each year and renegotiating, that we look at that and readjust language that we can, that we put in some protection as we move towards the future.
I'm going to come back to my question about how, I mean, I've got a suggestion. But Well, I think we should give this back to staff and ask them to rework the letter. I mean, you get the message that it should be stronger, number one, and number two, that you come back with a public report. It could be in consent addressing exactly number 10 of the grand jury request. How do you feel about that, Ms. Fuller?
Yes, please.
Are you good with that?
Yeah, I'm good with that. I'm good with that.
Nancy?
Get it back.
Noah? George? Okay. Fair enough?
Absolutely, Mayor. Are you looking for this letter to come back on the next agenda?
Yes.
Okay.
And I would ask that within that report, you address how you're going to address number 10 and put a date certain on it. Every June 30th, we will. Okay, great. Thank you. A4, Noah.
Yes, A4 was regarding the Morro Bay Tourism Business Improvement District and the scheduling of the public hearing. In the discussion, there is a note in the second paragraph down on the first page about an overexpenditure of available funds of approximately $27,000, necessitating a loan from the general fund to cover the deficit. And I'm curious about that for two reasons. One is I'd like to make sure that I'd like to understand how that occurred without the council being involved. If you'd like to start there, Ms. Luker.
I apologize for Ms. Slayton not being here, but I believe the issue was specifically an accounting, difference between an invoice from TJIA, our prior marketing company in the city. So certainly, we could call it an overexpenditure. In my discussions with Ms. Slayton, it was more involved with when items were received and such. That's about as clear an answer, and again, Ms. Slayton is not here tonight to give a further explanation. We could follow up with you with an email if you'd like.
Rob?
And I would even emphasize that with the T-bid, when we receive the money, we were providing them loans throughout the entire fiscal year. We don't receive the money. We loan them money throughout the year based out of our general fund because they haven't received funds from their TOT prior to that month. So when the budget is set, it isn't necessarily when we receive the money, just like any other department. You know, we get sales tax at certain times. We get TOT time. So throughout the year, there are loans from the general fund to the T-bid.
Protect ourselves from getting caught off guard.
Well, in the future, it won't happen at all because we're changing the whole program. And that program will be, instead of with TJA, the vendors, all of those are paid through, you know, the T-bid places advertising, whatever they do. That bill actually comes to the city, and then we pay it. From this point forward, once they have the 501c6, we will have a contract with them that says you will get X amount of dollars, and we pay the T-bid that amount that's been budgeted, and then they have to pay all the vendors. So if they're short money, it's going to be the 501c6. So, in fact, if you were concerned about this issue, it won't happen once we have our contract in place. It's the same as if the chamber contract right now, if they went over budget, they wouldn't be able to come to the city. So we'll have much more control on this ever happening again if it's a concern.
Okay. And then for the remainder of the year, is there a number that we can be assured would be a limit to make sure we're not caught off in just the remainder of the year before the nonprofit's formed and official?
Based on the situation that happened, I think the number could be zero. I don't see this situation. It was a unique situation that occurred here. I don't see it happening again, so I can assure you of that.
Okay. With that, I'll move approval of A4.
Second. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. A5, no one.
Yes, A5 pulled with respect to the public comments about how the participation would be organized and relayed to the Nature Conservancy. Equitable involvement, I think, was the comment. So, Mr. Endersby, if you wouldn't mind speaking to that.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Councilman. Good evening. As of yet, those CFAs and how that whole process pardon me, how that whole process is going to work has not entirely been worked out. That's partially why we're getting this other grant to continue on with that. There's certainly intent to involve the commercial fishing organizations and individual fishermen, as well as the city, the Nature Conservancy, and other interested parties as that process moves forward, to keep it as inclusive and as transparent as possible.
Great. Well, I'll move approval of A5.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. We'll take a brief break and we'll come back for public hearings.
Before the end of the year, how soon will we see that? Could we get some more specific dates as to when you're going to do your first community meeting?
I'd like to give you some concrete dates, but I don't think it would be right.
I'd like to have some.
For me to step out at this time. I have feet to the fire, but I think that as far as a community meeting, I need to have some time to get this contract in place and to get it up and running, and then possibly meet after the summer. There's other responsibilities that I've been tied to as far as priorities within my department. So I would, though I'm not trying to shy away from the meeting, I'm the one who brought it up and looking forward to the community meeting. But I think that if I can get some things going before that happens, that would be terrific. So after the summer, I would anticipate sometime in the fall to meet with this group and then do another follow-up again. I think the annual meeting should be somewhere around March, February, March.
So are you then saying that you don't anticipate any meeting with the property owners prior to issuing a contract? I mean, it might be a good idea to
I have not planned on meeting with the homeowners as a group prior to this contract.
Okay, so we can see some more specifics maybe by September, are you telling me? I just don't want to wait until next May or April and suddenly have everything happen at the last minute, which seems to be historic.
Maintenance, but it's important that the bid prices come in under the budget or within the budget. So it's certainly conceivable, I don't think it's likely, but the last time we put this project out to bid, which was some time ago, the bid prices came in at or above what we were currently maintaining the park. Again, a number of years ago, different climate. But I think it's important to say that we will bring back the bid for council to evaluate, to award the bid. But I think we want to be a little bit careful in saying we will put the project out to bid, because we need to really look at those bids and see what they come in at. So I think that's important. And I will tell you that we will I will commit Mr. Woods to meeting mid-September with the residents for the first community meeting.
Noah.
Yeah, thank you. I wanted to follow up, and you just spoke to that about the meeting before we authorize a bid, because I think there's some good input in regards to the recent performance and to make sure that that's incorporated into this upcoming contract. So I would suggest that it's good to get out there and have that input and discussions with them, so you're very clear about what their chief concerns are. And I would also, I'd also think that you'd want to schedule that review, the budgetary review of this last year, with them as soon as possible, because that question hasn't been addressed yet with this engineer's report, that this is not the specific information that we've been asked to see by the residents. So I think that's much important to happen much sooner than September. And with, you know, we're levying the assessment, and yet the budget hasn't been presented, as far as I can tell.
Do you want to respond?
Was that a question? Did I respond to that? Yeah, the budget has been presented to you in the engineer's report.
But this is the
assessment that that's been on the books. This is the assessment that those parcels have been assessed, and the assessment hasn't gone up. Though the challenge of keeping the expenses down has been borne by the staff, and so now we are looking at a position that we've got to change our business model to make that work. That budget's remains at 148,944, and we're doing our best to work within that budget. So saying that it's not presented, it has been presented to you.
Mr. Woods, I'm speaking directly to the breakdown of where the dollars were spent within the assessment, within the maintenance and operations. So that is very specifically requested in our letters and conversations with the homeowners. They'd like to see how the money was spent, and I think that's a legitimate request. So my question is, how are you going to present that budget that I expect we'll be presenting to them every year, not as an engineer's report, but as actually information about where each of the dollars were spent and how it breaks down? Because the engineer's report is fairly generic about, you can't really glean any information from that.
Certainly, and the expenditures that we have may be quite different than the estimated expenditures that we projected for the year. So there is a budget item and there's actual expenditures, and that's something that we report. We've openly reported that to the residents there in the past. Be willing to do it in the future, and I'm willing to do it at our first meeting. So the transparency is there. So I don't understand why there has been this thing that we're trying to hide what we're spending. We're not. It's been wide out in the open, and we're willing to discuss it.
Okay. I just want to make sure that we're not, you just said the engineer's report is the presentation of that information, and it should be clear that it is not. There needs to be further descriptions about where the dollars are spent and a better breakdown. The engineer's report is far too generic to answer the questions that are being asked.
Certainly.
We're good? Good. Okay, it's a public hearing. It's your turn, finally. Anybody who would like to address us, step right up. Hi, Don.
My name is Don Beatty, and I live in Memorial Bay. First of all, I want to thank Mr. Woods, member of the council, Mr. Mayor, Mr. Schultz has actually made his staff available as well. So I thank all of you for that. It's very important. I've heard a lot of information tonight that I thought I would comment on. First of all, I live in the closest, but we're not a bunch of super rich people who the rest of the town shouldn't care about. I can speak for myself. I'm not. There are some people. I don't see anyone getting driven by, drivers and Rolls Royces, but it's not that bad. So what we're doing in our community, I think, is important. Really, the issue is fairness. It comes down to fairness. It's not fair for a community to continue to have to pay for something others are using. That is obvious. Initially, the developers agreed to a bunch of things. They are on the payrolls, so they are charging appropriately to the right places, but they're not getting the job done. And on this RFQ, or whatever, I think RFQ process, I would like to be involved in that because when we did the parkway, somehow we didn't have to do RFQs, and with the maintenance supposedly being done, that we didn't have to do RFQs either. That just sort of magically happened 9 months into the year. So anyway, I would like... I love the questions and the level questions, and I'm sorry, Mr. Woods, that you feel like you're vetoed for, but I think most of the staff could probably afford to live in the cloisters, so I'd like to think that the staff would then, in fact, keep their feet to fire, I guess is the phrase. Thank you,
Don. Anybody else like to speak? Anyone? Then I will bring it back to council. Who wants to begin? Go ahead.
Well, I'll begin. We've been discussing this now for quite a while, and recall that about a year ago we had a pretty significant proposal from yourself and Mr. League to disband this assessment, and I think all of us took that very seriously, and the conversation was clear that the majority wasn't ready to take that step, but that we did want to confirm that we recognize our responsibility to hold up the end of the bargain from the city, which is with this assessment comes a responsibility to maintain the parkways and the spaces within there that the contract stipulates, and that if we do not hold up our end of the bargain, that it is essentially playing with fire and risking putting the city in a position to have a successful appeal attempt from the homeowners, and I think that's a very concerning situation because of what that would mean for the rest of the parklands and also for the cloisters themselves. So I think we took that seriously. Our word to Mr. Woods and staff was, hey, we have to perform. We're not going to continue to just allow this to continue without a performance. And unfortunately, over the last year, my personal assessment has been there have been improvements, particularly Mr. Woods, with your outreach to the neighborhood and having some of those meetings, and I felt like there was some listening going on and good dialogue, but towards the second half of the year, I didn't see the follow-through that we really need to see and that the homeowners deserve to see. Fortunately, it worked out in the end to get the majority of those parkways completed, which was good. I'm hearing still there's some concerns there, but ultimately I think we need to step it up another notch, and I'm pleased to hear what you're describing tonight about having an annual meeting at a minimum with the homeowners to get further input in preparation for the next assessment hearing, if there is one, I guess. I'm not prepared to take that step tonight. I'm willing to uphold this assessment, but I think we need to see much improved performance out of this, and I like that there's going to be that neighborhood meeting. I think the budget components, that's just a bottom line, a basic requirement of this is that they actually do get to see a breakdown of the dollars, where they're going. The same sort of budget report that would be expected if they were homeowners and contracting with a private landscaper. They're going to want to see a budget that shows them where the money's being spent and how it's managed so that they can make that decision. Do I approve of this or not? And that's just part of our basic expectations that I think we need to move forward with. And also, I'm very happy to hear that we're really looking at the deferred maintenance as a problem that needs to be addressed. It's true that these proposals could come back in, and they might not be very competitive. I would hope they would be, and we're going to see some savings and improved performance. If we don't, we're really going to have a serious conversation about how are we going to address this deferred maintenance. And you can start to see that it's getting to a point where if we don't, it's going to become a much more serious problem. At this point, you notice things, but it's not the infrastructure's not crumbling. But if we give this five more years, we're going to be looking at a problem that is going to cost even more money, too.
Breakdown of where the dollars are going. One thing that I heard that I have never heard or read before was something about an assumption of property taxes taking care of this. I don't think that's part of the deal. I am reading here on this page where it says the developer assured the city that there will be no surprises to prospective owners about the assessments or their amounts, which says to me it's there and that's going to stay. So That's my comment for the moment.
I don't want to be repetitious, and I'm going to agree with a lot of what Councilmember Smuckler and Johnson have said. I think that a lot of the concern has been that there's a feeling there's not a value that's been put to the assessed dollars in the past, and they've been promised every year by us or our predecessors and whoever's been here that we're going to change this and take care of this, and we head down this path and they're back here and they're dissatisfied, and we're having these conversations year after year, whether it's us or someone else sitting here. And I want to be optimistic. I know for some of the homeowners, they're past that feeling, and I'm hopeful that this is going to be a turning point for us, and I think that there's certainly going to be a different measure of accountability from us, and I hope that that's being made clear to you, that we're not going to sit here and watch another year go by, and I look forward to us making this a better process for everyone.
Anything else from anybody? Well, I'm going to vote against the assessment. I told you I would do that last time. Other than last year, I've always voted against the assessment. Mrs. Beatty, respectfully, I have to go along with Nancy because I know the history of this project since, you know, I mean, when I moved here, that was all scrub out there. And I don't believe that that was ever inferred by, not in my recollection, that there was any kind of, well, when we're all built out, the assessment goes away. This is my eighth time at these hearings, and that's the first time I've ever heard it. I was not on the council when it was negotiated. That was the council before my first time. But we actually had a good newspaper in town at the time, and it was heavily covered every week, and some colorful stories came from that era as well. So that said, I'll let somebody make a motion.
Well, before we do that, can we follow up with Ms. Johnson's comments? Because I agree with you. I think the neighborhood deserves an opportunity for input before the RFP is approved. And actually, if there's not a huge delay, I would think that they should have some input about what the expectations are and the priorities are in preparation of this contract. So that we're on point with what those are going to be as required by the contractor.
Certainly, I do have a respond. I just want to recognize Rob Schultz, if he can get a word in. He may have a reply as well.
I was just going to respond. I already have a meeting set up with Ms. Beatty on Thursday to go over the litigation and all of the documents that were presented on the issue of this property tax issue and what's included in those documents and not one, and that we did already litigate this issue on the special versus public benefit and prevailed on that litigation. But that meeting's open not only to Ms. Beatty but to anybody else in the cloisters, and I'd be happy to sit down with them, go over the history of it, and certainly by Thursday can provide them the expenses from the past years from a line item. That to me has always been available. It can be a simple printout to show expenses that have been from every single past year and the up-to-date expenses to date, which sometimes can be misperceived, so we like to wait till the end of the year audit, but those are available immediately. So those first two steps can happen immediately, and then I'll let Joe talk about a meeting after the bid comes in and before it comes to council.
Yeah, preparing this RFQ is just the details of what amenities that are on site and how we're going to be dealing with those as far as maintenance standards. I don't think that I would want to increase frequency of the cleaning of a restroom to more than once a day. And so when I have the outline of the duties, which is an Exhibit A in your engineer's report, I would take that and do finer details in the RFQ that would specify those areas, quantify the amount, and then specify the expectations in a narrative that outlines the standards in the industry as well as our city standards. So as far as an oversight committee that's helping me develop an RFQ, I mean, I have the outline. I know what the maintenance is out there. We have Rob's report.
And we want to make sure that we get this right, don't we, for this next year, because you could imagine things would get only more intense if we don't. So a simple meeting with the neighborhood beforehand might be really a good thing for us.
Certainly, I understand that, and there have been meetings like that in the past that have been informal, and they have recognized places that we've done acceptable job. Manager of the wetlands is one of them. That's 5.5 acres. So the big concern in the last couple of years have been parkways. We dealt with that issue, and now there are other issues that come up, and I'm sure there'll be more in the future, and we'll be able to address those as the community, as we meet with them. So we certainly would include them informally in this process as soon as possible.
Mr. Woods, can just to follow up on Councilmember Smuckler's concerns and questions, don't you have an email system that you're using currently to contact them? Perhaps you could just do it through an email notification that, you know, this is the process where you're at right now, and it for interested parties, because I don't know that all 140-some residents are going to be interested in participating, but at least it would afford them the opportunity to have input and contacting. That might be the best way to do it right now with the time frame.
Yeah, I would think an online survey, something along those lines, is a pretty clean way to get good input, leave an open-ended opportunity for additionals, and give you a chance to sort through that and see what comes out of it.
Could I hear a motion, please, approving resolution number 2-12?
So moved.
Second. Discussion?
I have one more thing I'd like to say, because I'm going to vote for this one more time, because I firmly believe that we're going to see some changes by next year, and for a couple other reasons. One of the things Ms. Beattie talked about was fairness. The people who live in the Cloisters are there because of a lot of work on a lot of people's parts, including the Coastal Commission. This is an ESHA, an environmentally sensitive habitat area. There wouldn't be a Cloisters unless all this work went into developing it. And there are special benefits for getting to live there, you know, the open space, the nearness to the dunes. So, and back to the fact that it was very clearly determined in the beginning that this would be part of the deal and that it wasn't going away. I do expect to see some changes in terms of how we handle this. And if I don't see those by the time it comes up again, I may change my vote on this issue. But as for today, I'm going to support the assessment.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Motion carries 3-2. B2, Joe.
Good evening once again, Mayor and Council. This assessment district is a little bit further north. It's North Point Natural Area. And this assessment was brought to you at the request to start our public hearings in April. Council passed resolution number 1712, which enacted our staff to perform an engineer's report and come up with an estimate for the new fiscal year assessment for the maintenance of the North Point Natural Area. Based on the engineer's report, the annual cost for maintaining the North Point Natural Area for the upcoming year is $5,645. Therefore, staff is recommending that City Council adopt this resolution in front of you, 23-12, which approves the engineer's report and states the city's intent to levy the annual assessment for the maintenance of the North Point Natural Area at the public protest hearing, which is tentatively scheduled for July the 26th, 2012. That concludes my report.
Questions for Joe?
The intent, my understanding then is the intent is this will also go out for an opportunity to see if we can contract these services.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Andy? George? No.
And would you also be planning on using the same system to try to identify a deferred maintenance component?
You know, we're fortunate enough to have deferred maintenance revenue or funds available in this particular assessment district, and we are planning on some work to eradicate some erosion control along the bank, and also restabilization, if you will, or remodeling of or rehabbing, maintenance only for the staircase. So there is some money there for this assessment district to do some other projects.
And to continue that.
Boy, oh boy, how things have changed in Morro Bay. While back, we would never be facing this situation, but as what's taken place now, we really got a problem on our hands down there. And this is a business that's been in Morro Bay for a long time now, since the late 40s, I know of. I don't know if there's before that or not, but we've actually been a destination for people to come here and fish. And the sport fishing boats has been a big draw for us, for the tourists, for the fishermen that come here. I mean, they bring their families, they enjoy it. Their families spend their time in Morro Bay while they're out fishing. So it's kind of a unique business, and it has been heading downward. And due to a lot of things, sure, there's been restrictions on what they can fish and how they can fish and how long they could fish, but there's still, I think, a great business could be had here. And we need not to let this get away from us. We're down now to basically two boats. And I know for sure, because I followed up, that we are actually, they are turning people away that want to come here because they don't have enough facilities to take these people out. So that's bad news. Excuse me, that's bad news. And that these people are going to start going other places. And when they get in the habit of going other places, it's really hard to get them back. So we need to help these people whatever we can to stay in business. And I figure that the staff can figure this out. They're asking for some things like a reduction in maybe the dockage moorings and some kind of a tackle shop. Some, you know, they're not asking for something really big, but something down on the waterfront. I think we can work out where there's a place where this could be done. But I really think, I feel like the whole council is behind this fishing, the sport fishing in this town, just like we were behind the commercial fishing, just as much so. And so I'm going to pass it on and see what everybody has to say here. But I really, really impressed that we need to do what we can to keep this business viable in this town.
Want me to go next? Well, I agree. The best idea I've heard is putting up a little shack down there. I can see the controversy of that, but it would give visibility, and I think that's the best idea I've heard in a long time, and I don't know why I didn't think of myself. And there are certain businesses down there that will oppose it. They'll oppose to, I only see it in the park. I mean, if you want to make it happen fast, it goes in the parking lot. And right there's going to be controversy. Do I need to spell that out? There are businesses down there who find Verger's operating out of GAFCO controversial, and we hear from them. It would be controversial.
Well, what I'm hearing is a community or co-op type of an operation, which I would assume would be equal opportunity as far as who could utilize it. And along those lines, I would expect that would be fairly managed, and it would be hard for someone to actually launch an effective campaign to try to scuttle that, because it's for the benefit of all and not just one specific business. And I think that's, correct me if I'm wrong, what we're talking about tonight.
I think we're talking about sport fishing.
Good.
And I mean, I don't see that happening overnight. What could happen overnight
is a temporary shack, sport fishing, in the parking lot. That could happen within a few weeks, and they would have visibility through the summer. I don't believe, were you suggesting, Kathy, that this co-op building could be done that quickly? Yeah, so we're talking about two different things.
I'm not sure we are with the in the sense of a co-op that offers an opportunity for loading and unloading and some office space. If we're talking about the sport fishing industry, let's make sure that anything we do is inclusive of any sport fishing charters that are available, not just the long term, but the short term.
I'm totally on board.
We should try to get them involved in some of those details, but I think we would be creating problems if we were too specific with the very short term options about how to support the sport fishing industry. And that's where we're going to start to create backlash that then might get in the way of the success of the larger co-op concept. And I just think that we'd want to start with that co-op concept in the beginning and let that grow. So are we agreeing with each other? Or I heard you agree with me, but then I heard you say in the very short term we can't get to the co-op.
Well, I don't think we can in the very short term. And I just asked Kathy. I mean, would that be a year away? Would you agree with that? You may. And then Noah may disagree with it too. But
Good evening, Kathy Novak. Yes, it would be a long-term thing, because what we would do if we were going to build a building in that lease site that I suggested to south of the South Deep here, we would first have to go through the city for a permitting process, and then we have to go to the Coastal Commission for a permitting process. And then we've got construction. So you're talking about a long-term project going down there. We're looking for something in the short term to keep the businesses alive until we can get to that point to actually have a co-op in place and have a building down there for them.
Okay. So the idea would be in the short term, you said businesses, that very, you said we could get this on underway and within the month, something situated in the parking lot. What I'm saying is that would need to have the spirit of a co-op involved with that as well for us to, why would we not start with that if that's the intent for the long term? And I think that would help bring the people that are involved with the industry a little closer together, and they could work together. And sounds like we have plenty of demand, so it's not like they're competing and undermining each other. It's about how do we get more people to be able to access sport fishing, and let's lead with the co-op option, even in that very short-term, simple.
Well, unfortunately, it wouldn't be that easy just to turn it overnight and do a co-op. There's a lot of things that would have to be put together. You know, it would be almost like putting together a nonprofit kind of group first. So you'd have to collectively get everybody together. The other problem is you have some permitting issues that you need to deal with. We can't just start inviting a lot of other additional sport fishing boats into that particular area. Currently, Verges is operating at GAFCO, and they have a permit to do so. Any other boats coming down there would need to require a permit as well. So as we go through the city permits and we go through the Coastal Commission permits, it would take us quite a long time to bring additional sport fishing boats into that area. So the idea of doing a co-op in the long term would be to process permits concurrently with both the use for additional sport fishing boats and a building down there at the same time, so that you could get through the permitting process the most efficient way and the quickest way possible.
Okay. What I'm thinking, though, is knowing that our other sport fishing vessel, it has a dock, but the office space is in question, let's talk about office space, you know, as an option. I'm not saying that we need to immediately start launching and loading and unloading from the same dock with all sport vessels, but what we're offering could be of value to other sport fishing operations. And
I've never known the sport fishing operators here to not get along and work together. And,
yeah.
And nobody's, I don't mean to speak for Sharon, but nobody's going to object to that.
Okay, I just want to make sure that that's part of this. And
okay,
as we start to
be assured.
Okay. What I think would be good then, before we get too far, is and thanks, Ms. Novak, for your comments, is to let's get the existing sport fishing business owners and our harbor departments together to talk about this and to hash out these specifics. and try to do it in an expedited way, prioritize it, make sure it's one of the top things that the department's working on to get this done, and move on it. So that's my suggestion.
Do you want to respond to that, George?
Well, I understand that this co-op thing is going to take a while. You know, it's just not going to happen overnight. But like I said, we're facing sort of like kind of like an emergency here. We got another support person here, and I think there's. Is it all right to address her, Michelle?
You may not address her.
No. I didn't. Anyway, there's been some discussion, Michelle, if you were in the sport fishing business anymore or that you're a commercial fisherman with your boat, doing both.
Step right up, Michelle.
Sure. Michelle, get up there and put your input. Glad to hear it.
Michelle Leary, Central Coast Sport Fishing. Yeah, we do sport fishing during the sport fishing season, and we do commercial fishing during the off season. We do both.
So you are intending to...
Yes, we are.
...future, but right now we need to figure out if we're going to get some kind of a ticket office or whatever it is down in the Embarcadero near where Burgess is running out of, because I know that from experience, people coming up to me and they're asking me, is Burgess out of business in the first place, or what is Burgess Boats doing here, and where are they, and... So, and they probably need some signage of some sort down there too, showing where they're running out of. So I don't know where to go from here, but I'd like to hear from the ladies.
Thank you, George. I can understand that we have a big difference here between short-term Band-Aid that we might be able to apply, and then the idea, long-term idea of a co-op or an additional place down there for people to get licenses and to get on boats. I have a couple of questions for Eric. First, if in temporarily until something else happens, if we were to reduce dock fees significantly, would be my guess, both for sport fishermen and for real fishermen. I mean, not real. I'm sorry. I apologize. The other guys. Commercial. That's the word I'm looking for. How significantly, I mean, how much would that affect our budget? How much does the city get from dock fees for fishing boats, and how much could we afford to lose?
Well, currently, if you're talking sport fishing versus commercial fishing,
I'm talking boats.
You know, we have our 50 slips that have commercial fishing boats in them per city council action, fishing boats only, and we do sublease those out and collect transient rent on those. That's the commercial end. The sport fishing end, which is what we're talking about tonight with Michelle and Verges, currently. On our facilities, all we have is one of Verge's boats, the Admiral, on one of our impound moorings, one of our temporary moorings. One of their boats is at George's at GAFCO, and one, I believe, is on Marina Square's mooring. So
you have two.
Other than the boat that's on our mooring that went there when they left the waterfront, for lack of a better place to put it, on one of our moorings, that's the only fee that we charge any of the passenger sport fishing for hire boats.
I was just thinking our commercial fishermen probably, I know they're not in all that much better a situation than our sport fishermen. So, I don't know, how much do we take in from dock fees? I guess that's my bottom line.
The facilities that we have, which are our approximately 50 slips and two T-piers, is where we collect our fees from. We approximately... I'm going to save about $70,000 a year.
That's a lot of money. Okay. Thank you. That was my one question. I don't know if we want to talk later about reducing either or what we can do about that. My other question for you is, would you be willing to meet with the sport fishing people? I know we have these two, and I don't know, there might be others who aren't currently licensed in the city to that take people out fishing, and talk to them and get this project started in terms of some kind of a co-op?
Absolutely, if that's the direction you give. Two parts to the puzzle. One is the land side, obviously, that we're talking about. The second part is the water side, and where do you board those passengers? You know, Michelle and her operation is down at Embarcadero Grill, operating off a small, basically one-boat dock, and at GAFCO with Burgess operating there, it's a small one-boat dock. So they're just kind of shoehorning themselves in at the point now just to as a one-boat operation, where if you try to centralize something somewhere, that's the water side is where it's going to be a little more difficult to squeeze something in. Finding the space that Kathy's pointed out, there's, you know, really three lease sites along there, 106, 107, 108, that are kind of shoehorned in between our existing slips and the pier that have never had a business or never had anything developed on them that she's referring to, and certainly that is our lease sites, and that would be our option to do that if we went in that direction.
So is that in the water or is it in the parking lot? I'm a little confused.
It's both.
Out over the water?
They're like both lease sites. All of our lease sites, up for the most part, except for the ones down at the south end that are water only, they have a water and a land element.
So that kind of that rocky area there just south of the
Yeah, without surveying it. I mean, I'm looking at the map right now, and Kathy put it up earlier. The eastern boundary looks like it's the same boundary that GAFCO currently has. So if you follow along GAFCO's eastern edge, you're going to eventually butt into those other three lease sites, and the same on the water end. So they're roughly the equivalent to what GAFCO.
Coffee shop kind of thing there?
That's
just sort of getting built?
Yeah. That,
or the dock.
So far, to my knowledge, that has not opened its doors yet. It's still painted, but, and that seems to be about it.
Okay. But so there's really no way you're going to get that back?
Well, should the city wish to purchase that lease back from C1 Solutions, or should that lease site go into default?
Sure,
I mean, yeah, there's always the potential that that lease site could become ours again.
So there is potential. Maybe not good, but okay. I'm just grasping at straws here trying to get something to happen sooner rather than later.
There's a lot of things going to happen in the future.
We want to
deal with something that
is. So, what are we going to do tomorrow?
Tomorrow is the day, yes. What are we going to do? Anybody got any great ideas? Is there any way we could put a. They're talking about a little shack. We're talking about a little shack. It kind of sounds a little silly. But right on the pier? They have one in like in Abla Beach, right?
Redondo Beach. Lots of piers you can think of.
Maybe just a temporary thing
Santa
there.
Barbara.
A bamboo.
Tiki's.
As far as the department that owns the property, I would say yes. As far as the planning and all that process, I would defer to my esteemed colleague in front of me here to see what the constraints on that might be.
Is that something you can just sign off on as the planning director?
I think I can, but I'm not sure if it's in Coastal's original jurisdiction, so I'm not sure if I have that authority.
You know, I don't know that you would get the visibility on the T pier that you would up by the road, but I wouldn't get involved in it if you want to put it there and if you can get away with it, you know.
Well, I think your visibility would be great. The only thing there is a... That one shed that's sitting out there, that's got electrical boxes in it, doesn't it? The one that's sitting
right at the base of the pier?
Yeah,
that's all electrical.
What about your porch outside GAFCO? Kind of out the front there?
I suggested one time, I think I suggested to my son, who runs one of Burgess' boats, that maybe they just put a podium there or something and somebody has anything would help, you know. It's kind of up to Sharon what you like to do there, but I wish we could just wave a magic wand here again, but
Carla.
Oh, thank you.
We will get to you.
Knock yourself out. So I'm going to start this conversation by saying that I have the utmost admiration and respect for Michelle and Jerem both, and I think they both have phenomenal businesses. So, you know, I don't want any of my questions to be interpreted as something against that. But my first question I can't remember is, how long has Virgis been up the hill now in its new location?
A little over a year.
So, and then I'm hearing a comment from George that the problem is they because Michelle's boat's out of service, that they can't even take all the people out. And now we have to, and please don't take this wrong, I'm supportive of looking at the co-ops and things, but this, you know, putting this cart ahead of the horse thing, we have to run down, do something in an emergency, but yet we're turning people away based on George's comment because there's not, because they only have so many boats available. So I'm not equating the two as to the emergency of having a location right there if they don't have enough room on the boats already. So I am 100% supportive of looking at doing the co-op space. I think it's a great idea. I'm not sure how that works, and based on those, that location of those lease spaces and how that would work for Michelle's business. If her office is down there and her landing is down at the other end, I see it would be certainly probably more beneficial to have a loading site closer, like Virgis would have it at George's. But then as you move forward, is this going to be available if someone comes into C1 Solutions? They're a sport fishing company. They would have the same right then to operate out of there if they want to do a satellite place down there plus over there. I mean, how do you make a determination of and I think it'd be great to have more sport boats in town. I think we would love to see that. But I'm just worried that we're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit here in what it is we're trying to achieve.
Well, can we get a reality check on the way that George is talking? Is every trip is packed? Are you packed, Sharon? I'm sorry. That's
on this and that, and feel like, you know, it, as you said, the Band-Aid, and maybe that's great, but I they've been up there for last year, and so now we're just now hearing this. Over a year later, after one season's gone through, we're in another season, and we have to do something right now. And that's what concerns me, is the right now.
Well, I'm going to suggest we throw it back to Burgess and Rita G, and the only two operators we've got. So we can't think beyond that. And come to us with what you want. You did that, Kathy, with your map. If that's where you want to stop it, fine. I would include Michelle. Let us know what you guys want, but to hear from you, you're welcome to speak, Michelle.
I'll try without getting too nervous again. There's a city pier, you know, right next to where my boat is too. So if they want to put a shack on the South T Pier, maybe I could put a shack on the Centennial Park Pier.
And then, yeah, then we have.
I could really use a shack. I would like to downsize a little too. I have very low visibility. I don't have any signs up on Beach Street on the telephone pole or wherever, Mobile Home Park. I'm not sure where it's at, but a lot of my people are my following. I don't get a lot of walk-ins there. We're tucked back in a little corner. Okay. We have really high rent, and, you know, we've got a lot of problems right now. So I would love a shack.
We are really aware of what you are going through.
It would make it a very sturdy shack. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Michelle.
Yeah,
I still think we need to give it back and ask you to come back with a proposal. And if you've given us a proposal, then we can work on that. But we're a year away in a perfect world. If you want something sooner, tell us what you want. So I would be willing to, you know, I know the next agenda is starting to load up, but I mean, I'm willing to, you know, keep bringing this back until we get it resolved one way or another.
Yeah.
I like the idea of them getting with Eric, too, right? And maybe that would be the best way to start facilitating it so that it could come back with a little more direction, maybe through what's allowable or what we can do with the harbor rules.
There are walls. Us.
And
us, the commission.
Excuse me, I apologize.
I always have your forgiveness.
Thank you. I agree that we definitely need to include both of our sport fishing businesses in whatever we attempt to do here. I mean, whether it's a kiosk out in front of the tee pier or something, whatever I think they need to go talk to Eric and try to figure out what we can get away with for the short term. But both companies need to be involved.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. I think getting this back to us by the next council meeting would be important, because there's obviously some very short-term needs that if we can help with, we should. And I do like the idea of both operators sitting down with Eric and talking about what those could be and helping us get a little more definition.
Yeah, I want to just make it clear. Yeah, we want to help Michelle with her problems just as much as we do Sharon. I mean, you know, this is just a situation where everybody's got a problem, and I think it's a good idea that you guys just get with Eric and kind of walk around the waterfront there a little bit, and I bet you can figure it out.
That's where we're going to leave it, if that satisfies the two parties for the moment. I will, it only gives you a week, you know that. But let's tentatively put it on the next agenda, same title. And, Kathy, you know how the scheduling works, and, you know, it's really, you only have a week to turn it around. If it doesn't work out, I'll put it on the next meeting. So when is the deadline, Jamie? A week from tomorrow. So 8 days from now is the deadline to get your letter to Jamie, so we can talk about it the following Tuesday. Otherwise, we're going to be put off till the following meeting. Okay? We want to help. We're here to help. We're here to help the best we can. Okay, we'll take another break. We'll come back and finish up. Good luck, Michelle, and let us know if there's anything else we can do for you through your struggles right now.
Put in and... the priority, I think, is pretty clear for me. Perhaps somebody has a different vision than I do on it, but I'm ready to start implementing and working towards implementing the goals, short, medium, and long term.
I do like the format. The different colors and the way it's laid out really helps understand it, and I think we've already begun to implement this with our first meeting yesterday of the non-blue ribbon committee working on planning. It was very, I felt a very successful meeting. We're off to a good start.
Great. Well, I'm very pleased with it too, Andrea. Good job. It is laid out well, and it articulates, I think, exactly where we were at the goal setting meetings. George. Noah.
No, thank you. I just had a couple of quick questions. Under objective one, keep Morro Bay safe and vital. We have the review of the disaster preparedness plan, and the comment in there is it was last reviewed, the disaster preparedness plan, in 2008. We're updating it, and the next scheduled review is winter 2013 if requested, and I'm wondering why that if requested is in there. It would seem like we would just let's just have that be scheduled and ready for preparation and presentation.
Can you quickly direct me to what page you're on?
Oh, sorry, page apologies. Two.
Oh, gotcha. Certainly, we can X out if requested.
Okay. And you're feeling confident then on the objective two about the economic development program. Specifically, as we get down the streamlined business license process and improve policies and processes that have negative impacts on business, there's not a lot of detail in here, but you're feeling confident about our direction to work very closely with the chamber on that.
I am. We're working with the chamber. We're working with the planning department. So I feel like we are, and my intent would be to maybe come back in a six-month period to kind of review where we are with these goals.
Okay.
To make sure we're going the right direction.
Okay. And obviously the presentation next meeting of the proposed economic development program will be steps in that right direction. And I'm glad in Objective 7 under North Morro Bay to see the continue to repair potholes and patching while seeking funding for larger pavement restoration projects. As we get into the budget, we can talk about augmenting that maintenance, street maintenance component.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. And that's it for me. Thank you.
Cool. Anything else from anybody? Could I hear a motion, please, approving item D2 with the one change on page 2 under Goal 2, Objective 1, disaster preparedness plan, to strike the words, if requested.
So moved.
Second. Give it to George.
Yeah, he was like 100 seconds. Like, I think I was faster.
He's faster.
That was a race.
All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Very well done. D3, Rob.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Council. This item is a proposal to do a reorganization to our wastewater division and to bring the operations of our collections section under the supervision of the wastewater division manager who oversees the treatment plant right now. A few months ago, we temporarily replaced the supervision of the day-to-day supervision of the wastewater collections division under directly under me, thus relieving Dylan Wade, our capital projects manager, to work on a multitude of capital projects that he was involved in, and had a difficult time in managing the day-to-day operations of our collection division. This to move the collections division underneath the treatment plant supervision is something that up until May of 1997 was pretty commonplace here in Morro Bay. There was a separation made when Mr. Keough accepted that job and didn't have a whole lot of collection system experience, and there was some issues with how we were going to track the division manager's time in relationship to the JPA. Our collection division works very closely with our wastewater treatment plant right now. They both have similar permitting. We have communicated with the Cayuga Sanitary District on this proposal. We informed the board president and the interim general manager of our proposal, and to date we have not received any concerns. We had previously discussed it with the former general manager. His only concern was our ability to track the hours separately, and our timesheet program allows us to do this. This proposal does request an increase in the compensation for the wastewater division manager to bring him up to the same level as the capital projects manager. With that, staff recommends this reorganization and associated personnel actions take place so that we can better respond to state mandated and locally instituted problems in collections and the treatment plant. There are no financial implications to the general fund, and as I previously stated, there's a impact of $6,300 or approximately 0.1% to the sewer fund, and we would continue to evaluate this and bring back any other recommended adjustments to City Council. That concludes my staff report.
Thank you, Rob. Noah, want to go first?
Sure. So what are the steps then that would be in this reclassification, if any? What's the change there? It sounds like obviously initially we have a $6,300 impact, but what steps come along with that reclassification? What could it grow to?
I don't think that grows to anything. I think it's how it affects the other personnel once we work out how the reporting structure takes place. Currently, there's a existing wastewater supervisor, and there's been some talk among the wastewater staff about the wanting to create a lead operator position. So we would evaluate those as we move into probably as we get closer to our new wastewater treatment scheme, rather than making those changes immediately. So I only see it affecting, presently affecting, the wastewater division manager directly. We do have to make a minor adjustment to the job description. I think in 97, they changed one word in his job description from supervises to acts as liaison. So we would need to change that back to supervises. But that would be the only change in the job description. So those would be the actions that would need to take place.
So just to confirm, though, there wouldn't be new steps in his potential to climb up the pay scale that new position?
He'd be put in the job classification of the capital projects manager. So I think at this, he's about at step three, so about midpoint. So in future years, yes, he would have opportunity for advancement in that range.
Well, what would that be? What would it grow to? Right now, the commitment would be $6,300, but what could it grow to?
Maybe Andrea remembers the top end.
The increases are 5%. So
what's the ceiling? I don't know that.
I don't have it in front of me. I believe the ceiling is about 95 or 96.
But we don't have the... What is that? What is that? I'm trying to assess what... We're talking about an addition of $6,300 now, but what could that climb to? So I need to know what that future expense could be.
He will come in at step three, and I want to say that's about. Rob might have it.
I'm gonna look it up right now.
And the possibility is that he'll have additional two. There's five total steps. Each step is 5%. So if when Rob gets his number on where he comes in, he'll have the potential to move up two additional steps based on merit.
Okay. And we're talking about reclassification costs for other positions down below that to reflect the additional duties. So we don't anticipate really a final number of what this would mean throughout the department and the budget at this point. But we know that there would likely be proposals to reclassify other positions up as well.
We are certainly looking at that, but at this is the first step that we need to take. We may be coming back with you with additional changes, but we're gonna need to work into it a little bit and see if those are necessary. But yes, there is a potential.
And so to confirm the time spent for wastewater treatment operations would be split 70-30 with Cayucas? Or approximately there?
I'm going to turn that over to Mr. Leibich.
Approximately. It's based on flow, so approximately 70-30.
Okay. Those are my questions for now, and we'll wait to hear back from Mr. Leibich.
He would come in at step three, which is currently at $97,979. The top end of that, step five, is $108.22.
So we're looking at another $11,000 on top of the $6,000 potential. Am I right?
Yes, eventually, based on merit,
org chart would be Bruce Keough as the manager over two supervisors, Les Gervin over the treatment plant, as proposed, Tim Omar over the collections division, who would run, basically be the field supervisors of those two crews.
So I guess then I'm wondering why we would change the dynamics of that structure if Mr. Hayes was in that supervisorial position overseeing that department and reporting to you or Mr. Wade. We're adding another layer in there now. I guess I was thinking that I could see if we weren't going to fill that position at that level, that pay level, or that job description level. But if we're doing that, we're really just adding one more, or we're shifting. Who did Mr. Hayes report to? To Mr. Wade?
He reported to Mr. Wade.
So you're going to take that responsibility away from Mr. Wade, give it to Mr. Keough, give Mr. Keough, and I'm just trying to figure this
right,
out.
Right, exactly.
Give him the pay raise, and so we're not recognizing, really, to me, any change in savings, and the structure is just that instead Mr. Wade overseeing and Mr. Keough is.
Yeah, we're putting all the wastewater operations under one management for efficiency. You know, operational efficiencies, there are no cost savings with this, and it actually does cost a little bit more to do this.
One of the pushes with this, you may remember probably a year ago, we were looking at the workload of Mr. Wade, and I certainly don't want to get into personnel issues here, but we're looking at the workload of Mr. Wade and some of the jobs that he was in charge of in one of our pushes. Comments from the council at that point were, is there a way to lighten this up? And with this change, we feel like certainly this makes much more sense. I think we'll be more efficient and work better for the city. That was our push with this. It was not certainly to, unfortunately, we'd love to be saving some money, but we're not saving some money with this. But I think we are increasing efficiencies.
Did we not already adjust some of the engineering that Mr. Wade was overseeing? I thought that was part of what happened over the last year, and some of that was shifted out of his privy. I thought there's already been some changes made.
We provided additional staff to took the associate engineer that is still reporting to me, and he has taken on some of the day-to-day work on the projects, but Mr. Wade still oversees those capital projects.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm good with this. Then, you know, I've spent some hours talking to people about it, and it makes sense to me that everything's under Bruce. I'm okay with it. I'm going to stand behind it. But I'm curious about you guys. Can we just start again? You want to make a motion? Anybody here? I'll make a motion. I'll make a motion we approve item D3. Discussion.
I'm not going to be able to support this. I just feel that, and it's not about Mr. Keough taking over the position. It's about the unknown the costs of positions that are going to be realigned, and I'd rather see the whole picture all at once and know what I'm getting into by shifting his time out of there, and now we're going to change job descriptions and responsibilities, and I want to know how that pay change would follow it before I could support making. I potentially see $6,000 already becoming $16,000 to $18,000 over 2 years, plus the cost of benefits, and then other changes, so that could end up being $25,000-$30,000. I don't know. It's an unknown, and I'm not comfortable with that.
Any other comments?
I'm going to also say the same comments. I see us adding an unknown amount of administrative costs with this move, and it's something that it's recognized in here. It's not from the general fund, but it's still from the wallets of our citizens, so I can't move forward without knowing those additional numbers.
I don't think I can support it tonight, but I probably could when you come back with the appropriate numbers. I'd like to see this again.
I'd agree with that.
Anything else?
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion failed. 2-3. You want to make a motion on bringing it back?
I will. I would ask that staff bring back more information at a future time with the reclassification and potential changes to pay structures, and include that with this information and change for Mr. Keough's position.
You know, like bicycle riders are required to obey the same rules as cars. What are the rules for skateboarders, and where can they go, and how, and that kind of thing? And I just would like to really, I think our citizens need to know what's happening, and where these kids can, they're not kids. A lot of them are older people, and they use it for transportation, and I think that's important. I just want to know if they're supposed to be in the bike lanes or what. Information item, please, a discussion. Oh, thank you.
Information for discussion or information?
Well, I...
Because, I mean, what I'm hearing, respectfully, is information on what the rules are for safety for riding skateboards. And, I mean, council wants that, but, I mean, I don't really want to see a presentation of city council on this.
Well, I don't know. I just, if we could have an information item, I would be happy.
Record Parks, yeah, give it to them. How about that?
Parks and Rec.
Do they know?
Record Park. Do they know? No, the suggestion is rather than bring it back to us, to send it to Record Park.
Send it to their commission and have somebody then work it out. Sounds good to me. Then will they let us know so we can let, I think our audience is probably a little bit bigger than theirs. I just want to let this people who are concerned, who almost had a serious accident, know what the rules are and that we're looking at it. That's
yeah,
all.
I remember a time coming up Marina, they were in Maine, there was like six of them, and I knew half of them, and I'm getting ready to go through the stop sign, boom, and they all look crazy, and you know, I don't know, we're not changing that.
If people are aware, I know I have skateboarding grandchildren, and I don't want to regulate it. I just want, think.
We do regulate it to some extent.
Sort of. We have signs that you can't read.
Can we get a report from Parks and Rec and make a determination then?
Yes, please.
Would that work?
That would make me happy.
Can we just do that, Andrea? Just ask Parks and Rec to, I don't even know what I'm asking.
I guess that, I'm not clear what you're asking either.
Okay.
What the laws are about skateboarding?
Right. So where are they supposed to be and how?
It would be police, not recreation. But we're happy
it
to bring back.
Probably would be police
a report,
department, wouldn't it?
It would be.
Let us know so that we can let our citizens know.
So I'm feeling like it's just an informational report on skateboarding in town and some of the laws that are revolve around that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why we would, you know, I don't want to. Well, I'm just saying, I mean, why give it to Record Parks? I mean, she wants it. She wants, you know, and I would support an informational item on consent. But I think
that's fine. That would make me happy.
That makes you happy?
Yes.
I'll support that.
Good.
You promise not to pull it?
I won't pull it.
Okay. All right. We're good with that?
Thank you.
Informational.
But I didn't promise.
Oh, yeah, she didn't promise.
Well, wait a minute, then. I'm withdrawing. Okay, anything else?
Yeah.
That's all I have.
Do you have anything on this side? Anything from staff? Anything from council? Thank you all very much. We're adjourned.